People always say that if you don't look after your health by eating right and exercising, you will end up with diabetes. This is a fact that will affect millions of people. But what does that actually mean? Will you be in pain? Do you feel nauseous? Does getting diabetes really mess up your whole life? Today, we're going to find out what it is like to develop type 2 diabetes and have to deal with it from a person with firsthand experience. Today is all about diabetes on episode 70 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio.
Yep, this is going to be a special edition of Fat to Fit Radio. It's going to be a little different from our normal show. We are away on vacation, so we won't be doing the regular things like my usual weigh-in or the listener emails this week. We recorded this a few weeks earlier, but we have a very powerful and focused show on type 2 diabetes.
That's right. And back in February of this year, I answered a simple question from a listener called Rocky, who also happened to be living in Calgary as well. He was asking some questions about treadmills, and I was actually in the process of shopping for one at the time, so I had quite a lot of advice that I could give him. He responded, and he wrote in part back to me, "I have tremendous respect for what you and Russ are doing to help others. Anyone who invests time to help others to better their lives is truly awesome. What you guys are doing is far beyond that. One day in the near future, I would like to email you a brief story of my journey since I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. At this moment, I am learning the discipline of goal setting and resetting all of these life habits. You guys are a great help with that." And I responded to him and I wrote back and said, "I know that there are probably hundreds of our listeners who are just about to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and your story will really help out. It is so much better to be able to relate a personal story rather than just give them some facts and warnings." And he said that he would work on his story and he really hopes that his story will help others. It was less than 2 weeks later that he sent me his story and said that even if it helps one person to deal with the possible onset of type 2 diabetes, then it's worth 10 times the effort. And he did put in considerable effort. And I'm confident that after we relate his story here and tell you about type 2 diabetes, he is going to have an impact on several lives. So what we're going to do is read through his story, which relates what it is really like to end up with type 2 diabetes. After his story, we're going to give you some more facts and details about type 2 diabetes. Now, believe it or not, I have edited this down to make it a little bit more concise. So if you think this is quite a lot of work that Rocky did for us, there was actually quite a bit more. So here is Rocky's story in his own words.
"I hope that what I am writing here can help out others to be aware and that they may try to avoid what I failed to avoid. Let me start with a little background of me in general. At this time, I am 50 years old. I am of very impaired sight. I see 1/8 of what a normal person would see. I have always been overweight. At my heaviest, I weighed 340 pounds.
I think that my first warning of diabetes was a subtle one. I had a minor but somewhat aggravating ache in my right foot. It was a dull but seemingly never-ending pain. At first, it seemed that every time I wanted to lay down, the pain, though mild, would come and remind me that something was not right. Well, I visited the doctor, and after some discussion, I was under the impression that it would all pass. That was in 1997. As time went on, the pain got just a bit worse than it seemed to subside. It was not until 6 to 7 years later that I realized that was not the case.
I am the type of person that does listen to their body, and at that time, I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I worked as a head mechanic and managed a very busy shop. My schedule was quite full. Many times I only took time for one large meal a day, not a good thing. That meal usually involved a local hotel buffet that could easily top 4 to 5,000 calories a sitting. I had my coffee sweet with too much sugar, and I drank regular soda. On my off days, which were few and far between, I would eat out and rarely cooked at home."
On to more background. "I was always on my feet. I was a walker, but rarely did I ever walk with purpose. I would always walk to work and took frequent walks around town, sometimes 15 miles at a time. I gave blood all the time and my blood pressure was good for most of the time. On occasion, it would run a bit high, but always just over normal. I would go back to the blood bank the next week and it would be fine. Rarely did I hear that might be an early indicator of diabetes."
Onward. "I found my best friend and we married in 1999. We moved to Vancouver, Washington, where life went on as usual for us. It was there that I had my second and third signs that something was a bit wrong. I wanted to keep up my habit giving blood. I went to the blood bank and was given a round of tests. When they tested my urine, the sugar level was elevated, but not real high as to cause worry, but just over what was acceptable to give blood. I had drank a regular Pepsi an hour or so beforehand, and the technician thought that was the reason for that reading, and I dismissed it. We really had no medical insurance at that time, so as money was a bit tight, we really could not afford to see a doctor.
The third indicator was a bit disturbing in its own little way. One day while I was walking down the stairs of our apartment, I noticed I had stepped on a very small pebble on the stairs. It felt larger than it looked, and in my short loss of balance and recovery, I hit my toe on the sideboard. The pain was there, but it felt different than other times, more internal than before. Later that night and in the morning, I checked the circulation of my foot by doing a capillary refill test. It was excellent as I thought it would be, but I did notice that my feet were not as sensitive as in times past. I have very sensitive feet, very ticklish. That, I later found out, is known as diabetic neuropathy, and I'll explain a little bit more later about that.
Time went on. In 2003, we moved to Canada and settled in Canmore, Alberta. Now, at that time, I was still walking, but my pace was slowly going down. I was now in the Canadian healthcare system and went to a doctor for a checkup. I was quite happy because now my weight was down to 275 pounds, and I thought I was doing good for a person at the age of 45. Boy, was I wrong.
My first visit to our new family doctor was for a total checkup. My blood pressure was exceptional, almost a bit low. My blood work came in and there was the first real indicator of diabetes. My fasting glucose level was 8.9. That's 160 for the US equivalent. I didn't want to start taking any medications to help my blood glucose levels. My doctor agreed if I would bring the level down and show her that I was doing some management. 3 months went by and the next blood test was due. My fasting level was a little bit better, and I was learning to manage my glucose levels myself and having some success.
A year went by, and I worked and tried to keep somewhat active. I was working on my feet at a restaurant, and being on my feet all day was starting to take a heavy toll on my feet. I went to see a chiropractor on recommendation of a friend. The ever-growing, and now at times very intense pain, had affected my walking in a bad way. I was told by the chiropractor that I had plantar fasciitis, and after $350 insoles and a month later, I realized chiropractors might be a bit wrong. So I went to see my regular doctor about my foot pain, who then recommended a bone scan and then a visit to a foot specialist in Calgary.
At that time, I was diagnosed with Charcot foot. Put in easy terms, as a result of my diabetes, I had a lack of blood flow to the bones of my foot, the metatarsals. My foot was being crushed under my own body weight. The bones were slowly disintegrating and cracking under me. Now my right ankle was the weaker of my feet, as it was sprained many times. I cannot even begin to describe the pain of this condition. I had talked to a rather interesting woman about this over the phone at one time, and she had said that many times the pain would be easily as intense as childbirth. I know that is cliche, but according to her, that is how intense the pain from Charcot foot can be.
I went for a bone scan and was soon fitted with an air cast. I was told that the usual time that people have to wear these casts was between 6 and 18 months. Now, an air cast has to be constantly monitored for its fit, and the pads, in my case, had to be changed monthly. The point of the air cast was to put pressure of most of my body weight on my calf. I had to wear this all of the time. If I had to go to the washroom in the night, I had to put it on and go. I had only aspirin for the pain because of another condition that was knocking at the door. I had some hints years earlier, but now I had the true beginnings of diabetic nephropathy as well. And I can tell you the feelings that you get from this are very uncomfortable.
I decided at that time that I wanted to make some changes. Well, air casts are not designed for winter use, to say the least, but I still walked to work. I even used a trekking pole to help out. After a while of walking to work, I even decided to purchase a bicycle, and my slow journey to better health was underway. I worked hard and went through a bit of pain, but I got the cast removed in just over 4 months. I continued to ride my bike as much as I could and progressed from being able to bike 25 kilometers in over 3 hours to 100 kilometers or 60-mile bike rides in a single day when I had a day off.
Let's move back to what it's like to deal with some of these symptoms of diabetes. Diabetic neuropathy, in my case, was first noticed with a dull aching in my toes. Then it slowly, almost unnoticeably, gets worse. Then you notice a lack of sensation in the feet, just on the peripheral nerves. You still feel sensation below the skin, but not at the surface.
You do not notice hot or cold on the skin, but when your feet do get cold, it can be pretty painful. After a time, any time you step on even the smallest things while barefoot, they feel like large and sharp objects, even causing your balance to be off.
There was a time I went through when it felt like I was stepping on large, uneven rocks, even when shoes were worn. That was when the nerves were numbing. I now have chronic foot pain all of the time. Tingling of the feet is a part of life. Just imagine walking around with that holy crap, my foot is asleep feeling all of the time.
Better way to look at the feeling? Ever tried on a pair of swimming fins made of rubber? You know the feeling you get as you're putting them on and your skin gets stretched inside as you're fitting them over your feet? That's one of the feelings of neuropathy.
The feet will have very sharp, very painful, and very fast bursts of pain, like a large needle was being inserted and then pulled out very fast. When you get one of these pains, it will stop you in your tracks for just an instant or cause you to flinch wildly for a second, then it passes. I cannot walk on grass and enjoy the feeling of grass on my feet. That's a hard one to describe, and I do miss that.
You can lose sleep from neuropathy because of the tingling feeling in your feet. Many times, if I lay on my right side and restrict the blood flow to my right foot, it is very uncomfortable. I have found that exercise does make life a bit easier, though, as far as the neuropathy is concerned. Many in medicine do say that much of the feeling can return with proper diet and exercise. That can and does take some time to do so. The roughest part of getting better and healthier is that now I know that some of these aggravating pains of neuropathy will have to be revisited again as I get better.
When on the treadmill, I start out slow and build to my happy pace because there is a period when I go through a lot of pain in getting there. The pain abates after a time, and then I am off in my workout. Knowing that this is now a part of the workout makes starting out a feared thing. Many times I have used that as an excuse not to work out, but right now I am learning to overcome that part of life. Willpower gets me on the treadmill or out for that walk and to the pain. Knowing how good it will feel to be out or on the treadmill is the key to my willpower.
Charcot foot has really changed things for me though. My foot is now a bit disfigured, and this is a fact of life for some diabetics. I have no arch whatsoever on my right foot, and the toes are a bit pushed to the right. My ankle distends inward, not a very pretty sight. The toes are dry and the skin is a bit broken down. If I do get a cut, the outer nerves don't feel the pain. Shoes or Crocs inside are the norm for me.
Now for my second condition caused by diabetes, diabetic nephropathy. Boy, there is a fun one as well. There's a feeling of constant weight and nausea in the stomach. Loose stool is a part of life. Your body doesn't process food the way it was meant to, so some foods just don't sit well. I love veggies, but too much of the wrong kind at the wrong time was rough. Glad I've gotten over that, but it took over 2 years to do that. Right now, there are times when food just doesn't sit well with me, but for the most part, I am over that little battle. In changing over to a better way of eating, I find that I do not get hungry, but I do feel empty and a bit out of it.
I think one of the worst and scariest experiences I've ever had was the day I rode the Goat Creek Trail to Banff. I was feeling pretty good, and then my energy just left me. I mean, I just tanked. My sight went gray, and I could not make sense of anything. Well, as this feeling was taking hold of me, I put the thought in my head to eat the energy bar in my pack. It was all that I could do to get to that energy bar. You never want to feel that way. It is scary. Your thoughts go everywhere, and nothing makes sense at all. You couldn't even call a tree if it was right in front of you. I was just so confused.
I guess I'm writing this to try and let people know how it feels to be inconvenienced by diabetes. You must take the time to try and make yourself healthier early in life, or before these little inconveniences become life changes as they did for me. If you don't take the time right now, things will take the time that you wanted for something else later on in life. Time well invested right now will be time well spent later in your life.
I have continued to work hard on my fitness, and 2 years ago, I walked the half marathon in Vancouver. After a lot of walking and pain, I finally did my half marathon. What a wonderful way to see a city that was. Now I was out there with all of these people, 15,000 of them. I was being cheered on by everyone to keep on and just have fun. My time was 3 hours and 57 minutes.
This year I have goals set to do an interval style 10K here in Calgary. As of yet, I am not able to jog or run, but I will finish it in a good time for me. This year, I'm also going to be participating in the Calgary Half Marathon.
I feel the need to point out that yes, I walked a lot when I was younger, but I didn't take the time to attend to myself in the way I should have. The foods I ate were not good and healthy for me. I didn't space out my meals. I overate and didn't care to listen to what my body was telling me. I didn't have the time, was what I kept saying to myself.
Diabetes will sneak into your life like a mouse after bread in the cupboard. You don't see it until the damage is done, and you then feel violated. See if you might like to invest in a glucose meter just to see how you are doing. Have a fasting blood test done. I am one of the lucky ones. I caught it before more severe symptoms caught me.
I remember a time when the layman called it sugar diabetes. Back then, many thought fructose was better for you than sugar. I am seeing numbers for type 2 diabetics just escalating in alarming ways now, and I am worried that there is not enough being done to raise awareness. So I tell whoever is interested about my experiences with this disease.
Try and ask someone what some of the symptoms are, and most cannot give you a definitive answer. I have even talked to quite a few people in their teens and 20s who say they will not worry until they start feeling the first signs. The next question I have is, what are some of the signs? Usually that gets them thinking a bit. I have also seen many that just didn't do anything even after the first diagnosis.
I would like to convince some to take action before it is too late. I could really get into the pains and the sleepless nights, mood swings, but that is saved for the sake of boredom. I would be happy and honored to answer any question that you or others might have.
If anybody has questions that I might be able to answer, I would be happy to do what I can to help them and try to find answers. Just forward them to me or pass on my email. Ask anything you want. Thank you for your time, and you guys rock. Keep up the tremendous work you are doing. Cheers, Rocky.
So, Russ, what did you think about his story? Did anything kind of jump out at you?
You know, it seemed like all the signs were there, but he didn't heed them in time. And that just, like you said, when he called them inconveniences, and that also stuck with me. But getting this out there, really, and educating people on what those symptoms are of diabetes, I think is one of the biggest things that that this story really is giving back to the people out there.
Well, you know what really jumped out for me the first time I read this was when he talked about being misdiagnosed with plantar fasciitis. I remember you talking about having plantar fasciitis and being able to respond on the show to the email questions from other people who are heavier and talking about that. Did that ever worry you when you read that maybe you're getting this Charcot foot?
You know, when I was reading that, and when you're reading that, I did think of that. You know, if I hadn't gone, I got this plantar fasciitis, and I went to the doctor like the next day because it was so painful. And so I had x-rays, and I've had blood tests, I had a surgery, and I've had, you know, all these things. So that doesn't bother me. But as I was reading it, I thought, oh my gosh, I really need to, you know, take a look and, you know, stay on top of mine as well, because, you know, it just could happen to anybody.
Well, I think this is a lot more powerful as well when we're just not saying, oh, you'll start to lose feeling in your fingers and toes and you'll lose some circulation and your eyesight might get worse. It's really not the same as hearing someone who's lived through that pain and day after day just suffering like that. I was really impressed how he managed to still exercise while being in pain and managed to pull himself out of that.
You know, the one sentence that I read here that really caught me by surprise is he called himself one of the lucky ones. He went through that whole with 3,700 words, I think you counted on the email. And at the end here, he called himself one of the lucky ones here because he caught it before they had more severe symptoms. I mean, it sounded like he had some pretty severe symptoms to me. I mean, especially when he described his foot as being disfigured. I mean, that seems like some fairly severe symptoms to me.
Well, let's move on and give a quick review about what type 2 diabetes is. So to start off, if you are just a normal person without type 2 diabetes, if your blood is tested at any time before or after eating, your blood sugar level will be about the same. Now, another term that you will often hear is the term insulin. Insulin simply takes the sugar out of your blood and moves it into your cells.
All right, so another term you might hear when talking about type 2 diabetes is metabolic syndrome. That's a term that describes a set of symptoms. You may have heard that people can end up with metabolic syndrome, but is mainly a result of lifestyle choices. The symptoms of metabolic syndrome are being overweight, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high cholesterol, a sedentary lifestyle, And most of these people will develop diabetes.
You might have also heard the term pre-diabetic, which really does not exist. You either have diabetes or you don't. It's kind of like being pre-pregnant. You either are or you're not. If someone says that you are pre-diabetic, they are probably talking about metabolic syndrome or that you have impaired glucose tolerance, which is tested by your doctor. Now, there are two basic stages that you will go through on the road to full-blown type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, stage one is assuming overeating and obesity, your cells become resistant to the insulin in your body. And stage two, your body starts producing more and more insulin to try and compensate. And then it wears out your body's ability to produce insulin.
So if you really think about this, people that are eating a lot of simple carbohydrates with tons of sugar spiking into their bloodstream, there's so much sugar all the time in your cells, and there's so much insulin being released in your body that your cells kind of start ignoring the insulin because it's always in the system. It's nothing special anymore. And then after that, your body produces more and more insulin, and it really just gets tired of producing this insulin. And one stage leads to the other, and then you just have type 2 diabetes, and all of these symptoms and problems that Rocky's talking about can start happening to you.
So, Jeff, do you have anybody in your life or in the past or present that has been impacted by diabetes?
Well, I did know an acquaintance who had type 2 diabetes, and I haven't talked to him in a couple years, but he pretty much lost his eyesight. It was untreated. He wasn't changing what he was eating. And I just saw him, you know, a couple times over the years, and his eyeglasses were thicker and thicker, and I knew that he was losing sensation in his feet. And it was really just a sad case. I'm wondering what's happened to him now, but his eyesight, from what I understood, that's now permanent.
Well, I had my grandfather. He apparently had diabetes for a good portion of his life, and I did not know this. I mean, he died when I was in high school, but he apparently died from complications from diabetes, and I had no idea before that. I know, not that I didn't care, but you know, it didn't come up in conversations. You know, my parents didn't talk about it. He didn't talk about it with us, and well, because of that, I always get my blood sugar check. Whenever I go into the doctor, I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's do a blood sugar test just because I want to make sure that doesn't happen to me. You know, and now that I've been eating, you know, very well, I remember my blood sugar in January when I had my surgery was like spot on. It's perfect. So far everything's working. But, you know, having a little scare, like, you know, a family member that has it, it's really sobering.
Well, I think the good news about type 2 diabetes is that in its early stages, it can be cured just by lifestyle changes. It is a disease that is caused by overeating and obesity and all these other factors, but all of these factors are lifestyle choices that cause it. That's why it's been so prevalent in the last couple decades. As more people are getting overweight, type 2 diabetes is getting more prevalent. But it is always better to prevent this disease than try and fight it after it starts it. And hopefully most of our listeners are doing that right now.
Yep, good points, Jeff. So, Jeff, now here on this truncated special edition of the show, what is the homework for today?
Well, the homework this week is for people who have some of the symptoms of metabolic syndrome. And it's for them to get a checkup from their doctor to test to see if they have diabetes. Prevention of type 2 diabetes is always the best line of action. But the second best line is to get diagnosed early and start aggressive treatments before serious damage is done to your body. The symptoms of metabolic syndrome, remember, they're being overweight, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high cholesterol, and a sedentary lifestyle. So just play it safe and get yourself checked out if you have a couple of these symptoms.
All right, excellent, excellent advice. Please do that. And Jeff, what is our quote for this week?
The quote this week comes from an author who's unknown. The road to success is dotted with many tempting parking places.
Mm-mm. Very good. Well, I want to thank Rocky. You know, I cannot express how awesome it is that Rocky shared his story with us and in such great detail. And I think, like he said, it's going to impact somebody out there. And that makes, number one, his work in writing it so worth it. And it just brought me a lot of pleasure that like we could share this with you on this special edition of the show.
Yeah, thanks again, Rocky.
We're going to have some links to some diabetes information and where you can read all about it and just get yourself informed. That'll be on the website at fattofitradio.com in the show notes here for show number 70. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.
Actually, I won't say actually.